Yo, what is going on, guys? Randall419, the man with the million, back again with another episode of the Xbox 2 podcast. And with me, as always, is the one and only Jez Corden of Windows Central. What's going on, Jez?
Not much, man. It's been a minute. Been a bit of a crazy couple of weeks for me. Windows Central got purchased. Oh my God.
What? Are you out of a
Yeah.
job?
No, thank God. Not out of a job. In fact, nobody's out of a job. They've kept everybody on. But yeah, we are now owned by Future PLC, who also owns PCGamer.com, TechRadar, GamesRadar, a bunch of websites, tons of websites. Yeah, we're all one big happy family now. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it sounds amazing. And yeah, sorry that we missed last week. I actually don't know why we did, but oh yeah, because I wasn't really in the best of moods.
Well, I had like as well, like because of the acquisition, I had like last week was disrupted, and so was this week actually, frankly. It should be all smoothed out now at my end. But why were you why were you
I
You're
don't
okay
know.
now?
Well, it's yeah, I mean everything's fine now, but like you know how we talked about YouTube being YouTube? They have this like category for review comments where I hadn't cleaned mine out in a while, right? So I had 2,000 comments that I hadn't like read that were held for being inappropriate, and inappropriate means, you know, you can add words and it'll hold it. And like I kind of just like didn't really read any of them. And then I was like, I need to clean this stuff out. And I read through it. And it was like some of the worst things I've ever like read before. Like the name calling, the people wishing me to die
Yeah,
over and
it's
over and over again. Like there's a part, like I don't really let other people's opinions about me affect me too much. Like there's people, you know, in the Discord who are like, I don't like Rand's YouTube channel, which is perfectly fine. You know, I mean, everyone's not gonna like me, and I get that, right? But my God, I was reading some of these comments, and it was just negative comment times 2,000 about how I'm the worst, how like, you know, like a bunch of different slurs, and how I should just like die over and over and over again. I felt like after reading it, because it took me a long time to read through every single one. I was like, ooh, like I need to like detox, and I didn't like make a video for a whole week, you know?
this a new feature? Because you're not the only person who's complained to me about this stuff recently.
No. They've had this like box for a while, this like held for review comment, right? And I usually like read them like every few videos just to see if anybody really in there needs to get blocked or whatever, but I let it build up and there was 2,000 of them and was like, holy crap.
Two
Like,
thousand.
whoo. Yeah, like it's amazing for someone who talks about video games, right? I mean, likes Xbox, enjoys PlayStation exclusives and stuff. Like, there are some people who just are miserable. Miserable. Like they must be absolutely miserable in their real life. Like the same people commenting on the same videos saying the same stuff for the most part. It's weird.
I had a friend who was she was upset about like a few dozen of those withheld comments. And I was just like, people that just suck. But then like
Well, then you
you're
get the really good
you
comment.
imagine like what the bigger channels experience, right?
Yeah.
It's
But
just the internet.
then you get like the real good comments. Like, you know, people in here in the live chat for the podcast, they're here because they like the show and they like us. And a lot of people post like great things, and then people will post on Twitter saying, "Oh, can't wait for the show." And then there'll be actually good comments, which then you read those and it makes everything worthwhile. It's just like I read 2,000 of the most vile stuff. And I was it kind of, I ain't gonna lie, it kind of got to me. Ain't gonna lie, kind of got to me.
Well, I don't know. You have to grow a thick skin, man. I
I
remember the
do.
first
That's the
time.
thing. I do have a thick skin.
I remember the first time just reading through like some of the comments about me on Resetera and places like that. The thing is like on the internet, people forget there's when you're sowing vitriol, that you don't, people forget that, like, the person who made the YouTube video you don't like or the article you don't like, they're like a real person on the other end. I think genuinely some people, like, when they realize that, they don't mean to be such asshole, but there are people who are thoroughly toxic and just inescapably toxic and just irredeemable, I guess. Yeah. And I'm looking at Windows Central's held for review thing now because I'm just curious, and it's pretty bad too.
It's you know? Horrible. So, you know, I just want to take the time to thank you guys, you know, Cake Batter, Miggy, Luca, you know, Dealer, Colt, Tim Dog, you, because I've talked to you about this, everybody in chat right now, Jose, Goran, DJ Sin, you know, appreciate all the great comments, you know, FC Violent, Snatcher Hatcher, the crew at Xbox Discord for Reset Era. Most of them have been extremely nice and stuff. So it's like Luca says in chat, they don't think of you as a real person. I guess that's true. I'm real, damn it. I got feelings. Anyways, enough of the, you know, pity party. I just wanted to say that's one of the reasons why I didn't make a video last week and we didn't have a podcast. But
we love you, baby.
Yeah, we're back. We got some topics to discuss because we weren't here last week. We're going to talk about Halo Master Chief Collection maybe getting announced for PC next week. Xbox hardware, the Anaconda, the Lockhart, the next gen Xbox stuff not being the last of the Xbox hardware. There's still going to be more. Jez wrote a very interesting article about that yesterday. Anthem's problems. Oh my God, does Anthem have problems coming out the wazoo? Xbox Game Pass not coming to Switch now after it was coming to the Switch. Man, home, so many different talking points. But yeah, thanks for everybody being here. Thanks, Zalker. Thanks, Big Cloud Gaming, aka Ryan. Thanks, DI Almighty Spartan God. I appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the show. And before we get into all those great topics, Jez, what have you been playing? And no World of Warcraft talk.
I haven't been playing World of Warcraft.
Thank God. Thank God.
Like seriously, this whole thing with the acquisitions disrupted my gaming stuff. Like I had to miss raids, and then I just like couldn't bring myself to log on, man. Like, I guess I'm falling out of love with WoW again. It comes and goes, man. Comes and goes with World of Warcraft. But I've been mostly playing Anthem, actually, the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about Anthem and its various problems. I've got to be over 100 hours played by now. Like, I'm deep into the end game, getting legendaries and stuff like that. And, you know, if you follow me on Twitter, you've probably seen me moaning about the game. Done plenty of that over the past couple of weeks as well. But overall, I enjoy it. But my God, I honestly think it's less polished than Fallout 76.
Which is that insane. Possible? Is that literally possible?
Is that literally possible? We'll get into it in a bit. Other than that, Rand, I've been playing Pokemon.
Pokemon? My God. You asked me who my favorite Pokemon was, and I'm like, the only Pokemon I know is Pikachu.
Seriously, don't know any other Pokemon?
I don't
Pokemon.
Know any other Pokemon besides Pikachu. Pika Pikachu.
Well, right? That triggers me immensely, first of all. Second of all, didn't you see the trailer for Pokemon Sword and Shield?
No, why would I don't care about Pokemon. I don't care about Nintendo. Why would I watch the trailer? You know what I did see a trailer for? Pokemon Detective movie with Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu.
See, that's also good.
Yes.
But so you didn't watch the trailer for Sword and Shield at all?
No, I don't care about Pokemon video games. I've never played one. I've never watched the Pokemon anime TV show that some of my friends watched. That, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I think you're into Pokemon because you grew up in that era where Pokemon was a thing amongst your friends and the TV show. I didn't have any of that stuff. So to me, Pokemon, I'm going to quote Mooch here. Pokemon is a never was. Okay.
I never was. It's one of the biggest video game franchises of all time.
To me, Pokemon, like Battletoads, is a never was.
God, I wouldn't even put those two in the same sentence. But well, screw you, man. I love Pokemon. I'm hyped for Sword and Shield, and I don't care if anyone else isn't. Because it's set in Britain by the looks of it, or a landmass inspired by Britain. So that's nice, I guess. Other than that, I've been playing. I played the Division 2 beta last weekend.
Ooh, Division 2 hitting next week. Do you see that? Like the beta of that? What?
You played the beta last weekend?
No. I didn't play the beta.
Okay, fair enough. Well, just briefly on Division 2. Pretty hyped for it. It's like I'm excited for the stuff we haven't seen, which is like the amount of stuff they're putting in the end game. Like they're gonna have this really deep end game out of the box, which is something the original game didn't have. So I'm looking forward to that. The movement is a lot better. Like it feels less Gears of War-ish. Like you can actually like properly backpedal and stuff now, and it feels a lot more fluid and that sort of thing. The gunplay feels better, but again, low level, so it's hard to tell. But the enemies that are bullet sponges are like coated in armor. So like it makes sense that they're bullet sponges now. Whereas the trash mobs, you kill them as fast as any other shooter. So it feels more like a tactical shooter, you know. So there's that too. I'm pretty excited for it. Are you going to play Division 2?
I think so. I don't know. We'll see. Like I got Devil May Cry 5. I'm going to start playing tonight. I got to go back to Metro and play that. There's Division 2, but I didn't play Anthem. I don't know. Like, I kind of want to play Division 2, but I kind of don't want to. Well, I guess we'll wait and see how quickly I can get through Devil May Cry 5.
I got some news about Metro, actually. Metro Exodus.
But
like, I stopped playing Metro Exodus, like, pretty close towards the end because I had to move on to other stuff. And like I said, last week was messy at work, but I'm glad that I didn't fully finish it because they've issued a patch for Xbox One, which improves the fluidity of controller play.
Right. I did see a lot of people's complaints were about the controls, and I saw that there was an update either today or coming soon that are supposed to fix that. So that's good, because I haven't started the game yet, because what I've been playing, besides Apex Legends, the best battle royale game ever made, and one of the most addictive games I've had the pleasure to play. My God, is that game so good. Respawn, you are amazing, and I love you. I can't get enough of... I honestly can't get enough of Apex Legends, man. Like, I'll get on 8 o'clock, and before I know it, it's 2 a.m., and I played Apex all night, even though...
Still can't get into battle royale, man.
I know. Even though I'm supposed to be playing like The Last Guardian, and a few people want me to play Bloodborne, like play Bloodborne, and it's like I will as soon as I have some time. And it's like I need to play this game and this game and this game, and then it's like oh boy, but you know, there's Apex Legends, and it's like I have all the achievements in Apex already. You know, I'm like close to level 70, and it's just like, ugh. But the game that kind of took it out of me a little bit was Far Cry New Dawn.
Took it out of you in what sense?
In the sense that I played two games back-to-back that were very boring, one being Crackdown 3, one being Far Cry New Dawn. Oh. And that's not good for me. Like, one of the worst things a video game can be to me is boring, right? I don't want to be bored when I... you know, load up a game for entertainment. So I played Crackdown 3, and you guys all know my thoughts on it. That was a boring game, right? And then I played Far Cry New Dawn because I love Far Cry. I love Far Cry 5. And I'm like, oh, a sequel to Far Cry 5? I'm like, I'm down for this. Played it, put 25 hours into it, was so bored. It is not a good game in any way, especially in comparison to 5. And I was just like, oh, like, I have no... It's like it just killed me, Jez, playing two games like that back to back. I don't know what else to say. Like, don't play Far Cry New Dawn. Wait, if you want to play it, wait until it's on sale for $20 or $15.
Oof.
It's not good. It's not good.
Fishing it?
Yeah, you can still fish, but the fishing mechanics are like even more simplified than they were in 5.
Why? They were really good.
They just are. And some guy asks, how do you put 25 hours into a boring game? I don't know, because when I start a game, I usually finish the game. And that's how long it took me to finish Far Cry. Like, I did everything in the game, did all the achievements, like, beat all the story, like, did everything. And it's just like, so boring. Like, ugh, it would have been so much better if it was just DLC for 5. And instead of a separate release. And then Alfie says, don't play Division 2 because it might be the same. Very well. But I actually really enjoyed Division 1. Going through the campaign, playing it in, you know, co-op.
They've stepped up the campaign delivery as well. Like, the characters, even in the brief demo, the characters felt more alive, less flat and incidental, I guess you could say. So I was, and the campaign's actually apparently really long, like the actual story stuff that you do. So it might be worth it on that basis alone, which is not something I can say for Anthem, sadly.
Yeah, so that's what we've been playing. Hopefully, you know, we can talk about Devil May Cry 5 a little bit. Although, Jez, you have played Devil May Cry quite a bit. Give me the elevator pitch.
I haven't played
it. Oh, you haven't played it much? Yet. Okay.
Cool. I played it. I've done like the first couple of levels and stuff like that. But it just, I mean, my colleague Asher reviewed it on Windows Central, and he basically described it as like the over the top anime action fantasy of your wildest dreams, you know.
So, yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting back to that at some point. But again, it's like the backlog is real, you know. I want to start Metro over again on Ranger Hardcore difficulty, because I did it on normal mode for the review. And then I'm going to start that again with the updated controls. I'm still playing Anthem. And then Division 2 comes out next week, which is going to eat into my time. And, you know, dude, it's too many games. This quarter has been crazy packed.
I know, and we're going to talk about that. But first, shout out to Daniel J for the super chat. He says, just wait 3 months for a new game come out, get it in Game Pass, similar to movie industry. And we will talk about the recent game that was added to Game Pass in just a minute. But you mentioned all the games that came out this past couple months. But let me ask you a question, though. Going into Division 2 weekend, right? Mm. Did you honestly think that the two best reviewed games of the year would be Resident Evil 2 Remake and Devil May Cry 5?
I didn't expect Devil May Cry 5. I did totally expect Resident Evil 2.
Capcom.
The Capcom have been killing it lately.
I know, right? Two highest rated games so far. And I can't imagine Division 2 being as high as Devil May Cry 5. Sekiro will probably score what Dark Souls normally does, which is high 80s, low 90s. It's like, yo, like, and a lot of those games in February failed, Jez, like Crackdown, 60, Jump Force, low 50s or mid 50s or whatever it is. Metro even kind of underperformed, but like low 80s.
I've got a theory about
Far Cry, 70s. Like, a lot of the games in February didn't really set the world on fire.
Yeah, I feel bad about Metro because I honestly feel like them having exclusivity with the Epic Game Store sucked all the momentum out of their marketing. Like, because I had a theory before that, like, if Cuphead was fully restricted to the Microsoft Store, and maybe even Ori and the Blind Forest to some degree, I don't think either of them would have had the sort of wild reception that they had just from being on Steam and the distribution on Steam. I feel like by accepting the payout from Epic Games for exclusivity, they pretty much killed the momentum with, you know, one of gaming's biggest audiences, which is the Steam audience. I feel bad for those guys. And I feel bad for Ashen too, because I feel like that happened to Ashen as well with the Epic Games exclusivity. But I don't know. You can't really say for sure, because you can't change time and go back and find out what had happened if it was on Steam. But man, I don't know. I'm not sold on this Epic Games thing, man.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's going to get more
different topic
pervasive going on. But yeah, that's what we've been playing. So, you know, next week, hopefully get more thoughts on Devil May Cry 5 and things like that. Maybe some Division 2 as well. So before we get into these topics, you know, I see we have like 240 people. You know, hit that like button, share this bitch out with your friends, subscribe if you're new, all that good stuff before we move on. And you know what? This wasn't part of the topic list, but because it was mentioned in chat by my buddy Nick, we are going to talk about it. You see, Nick, if you wouldn't have said anything, I wouldn't have brought it up. But now that you said something in the chat, and that you said something on Twitter, we're going to talk about it. And that's PlayStation going on iPhones. Sometimes you just don't say anything, and I won't bring it up. But because you brought it up, and there he's laughing in chat. It's your fault.
It's all Nick's fault. Good job, Nick.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah, I saw this news. So refresh. Well, for those who don't know, including me, who's not really 100% sure on what's going on. Basically, on PlayStation 4 now, you can stream your PlayStation 4 to an iOS app over the internet.
Yes, it's called Remote Play. They've had it forever. They had it with the Vita. They had it even with some Sony Xperia Android phones. Basically, you turn on your PlayStation, you download an app on iOS, you sync the two, and you know if it's connected on the same in-home Wi-Fi network or mobile hotspot, as someone showed me, as long as the PlayStation's on, because it needs to be on, you can basically mirror your game. It's very similar to like mirroring an Xbox game on Windows 10. Wow. So you can play Bloodborne on your iPhone or whatever, right?
You have to be on the same home network.
You don't have, I mean, you're supposed to be, but like someone showed me a video of him on a mobile hotspot and he was able to play, right? Of course, this has led to a lot of people being like, well, PlayStation's got no exclusives because it's on iPhones. But you know what? Like I said, I didn't want to talk about this topic because there wasn't really much to talk about. I made a video if you do want to watch it. I just wanted to troll Nick a little bit because he was like, you better not talk about PlayStation. Yeah, it's not what people think it is, and they've been doing it forever, which is exactly what I said in my video, even though everybody in the comments section was calling me a clickbaiter. And it's just like, no, the title's pretty accurate. And if you actually listen to the video, like, people were pissed. Rand, you know they've been doing this for years? Yes, I literally said in the first 2 minutes of the video they've been doing it for a long time. Did nobody watch the videos? Do they just look at the title and just comment? Are people that dumb? They must be. I swear to God. Like, the comments, some of the comments I get in my videos, I am 100% sure they didn't even fucking watch the video. Oh, my God. I said the F word. Demonetized. YouTube's going to strike my channel. Can't say those words. Can't say those words on YouTube.
The thing, though, like, most people who just enjoy the video, most people who just sit there and enjoy the video and watch it fully through, they don't comment because they're satisfied, you know.
Yeah. So enough about PlayStation. This is Xbox podcast. Sometimes we talk about it. We're moving on. Anthem, Jez. What the heck is going on with BioWare? What is going on with Anthem? Like, Anthem. Is this just a this is a story of a game that's what probably came out 6 months too early, a year too early. So many problems.
Yeah.
It's like typically. I mean. I guess it is a PlayStation issue as well, but not really. It's just more about the issue with Anthem breaking people's consoles, or at least knocking them into like safe mode, right? Which is, you know, pretty bad. And that's on EA. That wouldn't be on Sony or Microsoft, right? That's on EA for Anthem being the hodgepodge that it is, right? But more importantly than that, in a looter shooter where the whole point of the game is to get better gear so you can do more damage, so you can kill things faster, and then attempt to do like what, harder missions. The best weapon in the game was the starting weapon. How does that get through?
Well, that's not entirely the case, but it is a mess. And I'll say straight up, I haven't measured this, but I've crashed way more in Anthem than I ever did in Fallout 76. Like, hard crash to desktop, and a couple of times fully hard console crash that required a hard reset. That's on the Xbox One X. The game is broken. It is such a mess. And like, the patch from last week did stop my crashing for the most part. I think I crashed once this whole week, whereas last week I crashed maybe 3 or 4 times per day per session. Like, you can watch, like, me and Roby trying to stream the game, like, crashing left, right, and center, disconnecting and all that sort of stuff. It was painful trying to force myself to play through this game to start with. But at the same time, the underlying systems that, you know, govern the gameplay are fun. You know, the combat's fun, the loot's fun, the abilities are fun and deep, and the way you can mix them together, and the class roles are actually class roles, unlike in Destiny where they're not, and stuff like that. And it kind of, like, the direction they went in with Anthem is kind of like how I wanted Destiny to be, except that it's broken. Obviously, I didn't want it to be broken, but it is. And this seems to be a recurring theme with EA now, where they ship broken games because they want to slot them into a quarterly financial report or something. You know, and this is like one of the central criticisms of EA recently, is how they rush games out. They just keep doing it.
Yep, they sure do.
And this game needed at least 3 to 6 months of polish before it shipped, I think, because it's unforgivable that it crashes as much as it does, but it's a travesty that it's been causing PlayStations to roll back into safe mode and rebuild the entire database and stuff like that. It's staggering. And then you talk about things like the loot scaling bug. So, like, they have systems in Anthem that allow lower level players to scale up to higher level players so that you can play together with your friends and stuff like that. However, there was some of the low level weapons were just broken and were scaling up to a high level, you know, and they got their maths wrong or something like that. And as a consequence, you can actually get more damage scaling with a low level weapon than you can with a high level weapon in some circumstances or something like that, which destroys the whole point of loot in a loot shooter, right?
Yeah.
Or as some people are now calling it, a schluter.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people like, what is the name of this? A schluter, a looter shooter? It's like, they're coming up with so many different names. But yeah, there's so many things wrong with Anthem. And here's what I'm worried about, Jez. EA, known for cutting studios that don't live up to their expectations. Anthem is a game that's been in development for 6 years. A lot of money been poured into it. Mass Effect Andromeda didn't sell very well. They closed down that studio. EA shut down Visceral. They now have Respawn, who just, you know, dropped the golden goose with Apex Legends and probably is going to put out an amazing Star Wars game, Star Wars Fallen Order, Fallen Jedi Order, at the end of the year. How much of a danger is BioWare from being shut down or changed significantly from the BioWare that everybody loves from last gen and early of this gen? Or is BioWare right now, like the current BioWare, just, are they already dead? And it's just like, this is a different BioWare than the ones that made Mass Effect and everything else.
I think, like, we're in weird territory right now in the AAA publishing industry, because if you look at a game like Apex Legends, it's like a high margins game. You know, it has no campaign, it has no, you know, the things that BioWare are known for are dialogue choices and loads of voice acting and loads of voiceover and stuff like that. Star Wars The Old Republic has like over a million lines of voice dialogue or something insane like that, you know, and 100,000 or something, not a million. I don't know, but it was a world record, point being. It was a world record at the time, and that BioWare had made an MMO that was fully voiced, and no one had ever done that before. And that costs a lot of money. You know, and you know, you get games like The Witcher 3 that are really pushing the boundaries of what an RPG should look like, and that sort of shines a spotlight on BioWare to step up its game with Dragon Age 4, and you know, thus include even more dialogue and stuff like that. They're expensive to make, and AAA publishers are looking at games like Fortnite and frankly Call of Duty and wondering, why are we spending so much money for such a little return comparatively to games like Call of Duty, which basically asset flip year in, year out, have peer-to-peer servers and, you know, really crappy networking infrastructure that costs no money, and they've completely cut the campaign now, which, you know, is a cost-cutting measure, and they're still one of the highest-selling games of the year. So it's kind of like EA is looking at these games like Fortnite and Call of Duty and thinking, why are we bothering? Why are we bothering putting all this effort into the games? Can't we do more with less? And I kind of worry what that's... But that the thing is, BioWare is known for those kind of expensive experiences. And that's what worries me, is that either they'll change BioWare to the point where they're unrecognizable, or they will, you know, just ditch them, you know. And I think, like, Anthem is totally salvageable. It's not like a game that's going to be dead, I think, in 6 months. I think they can salvage it, you know, with fixing the game and bringing out the content they promised and stuff like that. Because, again, the underlying systems are great. The combat is addictive. And, you know, I've enjoyed playing it a lot with my friends and stuff like that. But, you know, and like Rectangle in chat asked, Jez, if you were to review Anthem, what score would you give it? I did review Anthem, and I gave it 6 out of 10, I think.
Yeah. Well, even Eric the Red super chatted us and says, hey, guys, how soon till Anthem gets a price drop? I would say sometime this month, probably. EA games usually get a price drop pretty quickly, especially if they don't really meet their sales targets. I would expect sometime this month. However, you know, I did also look at the most played games on Xbox, and if you do look there, Anthem's number 5 currently.
Yeah, I mean,
so it does seem like people are playing it.
Oh, actually, by the way, I just want to add, I didn't review Anthem. I got it mixed up with something else. But
you got it mixed up with Crackdown. Is what you got mixed up with.
Well, we gave Anthem, what did we give it? We gave it 6 out of 10, so that's why I got mixed up. But yeah, we gave Anthem 6 out of 10, and frankly, that's almost generous, you know. And it's got 6 out of 10 because it is fun, and there are unique aspects to it, and like Jay Von Zarelli says in chat, it's sort of based on Mass Effect Andromeda, which the combat is, and the only fun thing about Andromeda in my mind was the combat. Like, everything else was dialed back. The open world was dead. The dialogue choices didn't matter. And that's almost the same in Anthem. It's like, yeah, the world's gorgeous, but there's not a lot of stuff to do in it. There is plenty of dialogue, but none of your choices really matter. You know, I mean, there are a few instances where you might get a slightly different scene, but you don't know if your choices have mattered or not, because there's so many instances where it doesn't matter, you know. And I feel like BioWare shoved that in there just because they're known for dialogue choices, and they've just made weak dialogue choices. They might as well have not even bothered including it.
Right.
But I don't know.
All right, Jazz, we have a question in chat from Joe Taylor. He says, Rand and Jez, is it telling that nearly a month after Crackdown 3 release, Microsoft hasn't released any metrics? Sea of Thieves, by comparison, had 2 million players after 2 weeks. Yeah. Jez, that is interesting, is it not? It's the reason why I read the question off, because, you know, I saw it first off, and it brings up a good point. Where are the Crackdown 3 metrics? I want to know how many agility orbs were, you know, taken by the community. I want to know how
you really
many.
Don't know.
I'm just saying, in a press release about Crackdown 3, that's the only information you're going to get. You're going to get how many people played it, and then how many buildings were knocked down in Wrecking Zone, and how many agility orbs were picked up, and how many cars were started and did races in, because that's the only stuff that Microsoft gives out. So where is that? Are we to expect any Crackdown 3 news about that stuff, or is Microsoft just going to sweep it under the rug and just kind of pretend it doesn't exist?
I think they're going to continue on with Crackdown. They've got, like, some of, you know, Joe Staten's still working on the game, and they've got some of their, like, top people working on it now, and some of those people didn't come into the project until later on, after the whole mess with Cloud Gin and stuff like that. Crackdown's a product of its, you know, unfortunate development.
Are we going to say a product of its time?
No. I mean, it's a product of yesterday's time, if we're going to call it that way. But, you know, there are plenty of people on Twitter who defended the game and said my review was garbage and that, like, you know, I don't know what a fun game is anymore and stuff like that. And, you know, I can see, I mean, I even wrote in the review, I can see, like, people being able to get fun out of the game, because, you know, the first 20 times you throw a lorry into a tank and it explodes, and, you know, the explosions look cool. It is fun, but, you know, that's the whole gameplay loop. It's throwing tanks into cars and getting explosions. And for me, that's fun 20 times, but not after 20 hours, you know. So I don't think the game's doing as well as maybe Sea of Thieves and State of Decay did.
Yeah, so, I thought we'd see a press release after a couple of weeks, but maybe it'll be after a month. Maybe they can say they had 2 million players. I don't know. I did take a look at the top 50 most played games on Xbox, and it's not in the top 50, neither that or the Wrecking Zone.
I think splitting it. Well, that's the thing. They've split it across two games. So yeah. You wouldn't, if there's half of them are playing Wrecking Zone and the other half are playing single player, it cuts it in half where it would be in the list, right? I think that was a mistake too, splitting them across two different clients. I don't know why they did that.
I don't know why they did that, and they didn't have the party system available for Wrecking Zone either, which is a big mistake. You know,
I think that one of the reasons Crackdown might not have done that well is because it was very, very, very well documented, the issues that the game was having towards launch, which isn't the case for State of Decay 2. Like, I did a preview of State of Decay 2 a year before it launched, and I was like, I'm a little concerned about this. But I was just like in my preview, like, hopefully in a year they'll have fixed it, but they kind of didn't.
All right. So Gorne says technically Crackdown 3 is a $10 game thanks to Game Pass. Interesting that you bring up Game Pass, because this is a subject I wanted to quickly switch to. Just Cause 4, Jez, joined Game Pass. And this surprised a lot of people, because Just Cause 4 literally came out in December of this past year. So 3 months now. Is that because Just Cause 4 sold like poo? Is it because these deals are in place way beforehand? How much value does it add to add a game like Just Cause 4, a big AAA $60 experience, so soon after launch? And can people expect this to kind of happen on a monthly basis with Xbox Game Pass? Because they added Shadow of the Tomb Raider the month before, which is also another Square Enix game. Just Cause this month, April. You know what I'm saying? Like, people were surprised that Just Cause 4 was added so soon. What are your thoughts on that?
Some people were annoyed. I saw that.
Well, wouldn't you be annoyed? Like, I could see, like, I buy Just Cause 4 for $60, or hell, I think it was even on sale at some point for $40. You buy it, and then you're subscribed to Game Pass, and suddenly it's there, and you wouldn't have to spend any money. So
The thing is, one of the advantages Microsoft has with Xbox Game Pass is that they can see the figures, right? They know if a game's selling or not. And that puts them in a better position to, like, slink over to a publisher and say, your game's not doing that well. Why don't you cut us a deal and we'll stick it in Game Pass to get the numbers up, you know? And, like, sometimes when a game hits Game Pass, it does create this halo effect of people becoming more aware of the game just because more people are playing it, which leads to sales. Like, even it leads to retail sales, according to Microsoft's data, where, like, just because lots of people were aware of Sea of Thieves because they could get access to it very cheaply, it actually increased retail sales because people were buying it to play with their friends and stuff like that. And as we've seen with Sea of Thieves on Twitch, the fact that it's got high accessibility through Game Pass has caused it to spike on Twitch a couple of times, which is strange, you know. It's, you know, the irregular. And I suppose, like, in a way, they're kind of hoping to recoup some of the losses and maybe bump it in the marketing and try and create interest by improving access to games. And Phil Spencer actually did an interesting interview recently, and I can't remember the outlet. I think it might have been PC Gamer, where Phil was basically saying that in this business, the whole point of the business is selling games. And if you improve access to those games, whether it's through subscription services or even making them free to play, like Fortnite, they can explode. And that's, like, the logic behind Project xCloud, is improving access to the game. So I think it's still in a sort of experimental phase. I don't think the deal was in place beforehand. I think it's probably a case of the game wasn't doing that well, and they wanted to recoup some of their losses by, you know,
pushing it over to I disagree. Game Pass. I think Just Cause 4 was coming to Game Pass regardless.
Really?
Because I just look at the games. Okay, so they added Just Cause 3 to Game Pass. They've added the previous Tomb Raider games to Game Pass. To me, it was a shoo-in, an absolute shoo-in, that Tomb Raider and Just Cause 4 at some point were going to would be added to Game Pass. Also, Division is in Game Pass. I think it's a shoo-in Division 2 joins at some point. Mortal Kombat 10's in Game Pass. I think it's a shoo-in Mortal Kombat 11 joins at some point. I'm not saying they're all going to join 3 months or 5 months later, but I'm saying at some point those games are going to join. They also happen to be, you know, Xbox-marketed, co-marketed games. You know, I think...
This is the problem. It makes them unpredictable. It's like, what, so should I hold off on buying the Square Enix games now because they might hit Game Pass?
I don't know. Maybe you should. I don't know. I'm just saying I think those games are going to join Game Pass regardless of if they were, you know, selling 10 million copies or if they sold one copy. I think it's just a matter of when. And if you notice, it seems to be 3 months, like 90 days passed for Just Cause 4. It's in. They're adding the new episodes of Life is Strange 2, another Square Enix game, 90 days after the episodes drop. So I fully expect Mortal Kombat 11 to be in there, Division 2 at some point, Fallout 76 at some point. They had just added, you know, Fallout 4 back. A lot of these Xbox co-marketed games might have some sort of thing where it's like, yeah, well, Game Pass. I mean, I don't know, Metro Exodus.
Is that going to hurt games though? Because I think one of the things you often get with Steam is that people just wait for a Steam sale.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it seems like a valid strategy. Is that going to become a thing where the strategy becomes wait for it to hit Game Pass?
But does Microsoft care at that point? If Microsoft's, and we've talked about it on the show, how Game Pass is, you know, really important to them. Does Microsoft care that, you know, these games don't sell that well initially? And then
sure. But my concern is that going to hurt quality? Because Steam is known for its shovelware.
True. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I look at it and I'm like, there's two Metro games, Last Light in 2033. They've been in the service since launch. Metro Exodus is Xbox co-marketed. I can guarantee you Metro Exodus will be in Game Pass at some point. I don't know when. I don't know if it'll be 3 months, 5 months, or a year. But I imagine it's coming, and I think those deals have already been made, Jez. That's my whole thing. I think they already made a deal for Just Cause 4, and when it launched, they knew exactly when it was coming into Game Pass. Because I can't imagine these guys are making deal for Game Pass like, oh, well, February is over, time to get the deals for March done. I think those things are done way in advance. But I could be wrong. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe they do it in a month in advance. But I think those deals... are spread out far in advance. But that's just kind of my take on the issue. But I am kind of interested in seeing how Game Pass grows this year. Are we going to expect bigger AAA games to add on a more frequent basis? I'm not saying day one. Like, I don't think we'll see, at least anytime soon, a Mortal Kombat 11 launch day and date in Game Pass. Unless, of course, it's a Microsoft game. Like, I still can't see that scenario happening just yet. Maybe it does. I don't know. I mean, maybe Game Pass is becoming that viable. Maybe people don't want to buy some of these games. I don't know, man.
That benefits Microsoft though. If it changes people's behavior to wait for Game Pass, that potentially benefits Microsoft by shifting more people over, right? But I'm wondering if that hurts developers. You know, I'm wondering how does that benefit developers if people start waiting for the Game Pass thing, unless Microsoft is giving them so much money? But then that hurts Microsoft, because it's like, when does Xbox Game Pass actually become financially viable? Because I doubt they're profiting on Game Pass right now.
Oh, I doubt they are too. I bet you it's a loss leader for them to eventually make money down the road. I mean, you figure you start out a subscription service, you need games on the service, which means you need to cut a check to these developers and publishers to get their games on the service while you don't really have a user base that's giving you money yet. You know, I would imagine it's not cheap getting Just Cause 4 into Game Pass 3 months after launch. But that does add value to the service, because people look at it and are like, I put out that tweet, it got a bunch of retweets, and people were like, oh my god, I can't wait to play it. Even though the game's like got a 65 on Metacritic, it is a AAA $60 game that's in Game Pass in 3 months. That adds value to the service for a lot of people.
Just Cause is a game that I would never buy, because I'm not really into wacky sandbox games, but it's a game that I'd try on Game Pass.
Right. But here's the thing. We know most game sales happen right away, within the first month, for the majority of these games, unless you're like a Nintendo game, unless you're like one of these like Battle Royale games. Most game sales happen right away, and then it's kind of nothing as it goes on, and you get the price drops. Mm. Game Pass could, I don't know, so you could look at a scenario like Just Cause 4 and be like, well, nobody was buying it regardless, and just put it in there. I don't know.
I agree. You've changed my mind, Ryan. I think maybe you're right that this deal was probably in place beforehand, and they just projected that a game like this with no sort of service component really would probably have no more sales left after three months.
Also, look, it joins Game Pass, and on the day it joins Game Pass, it gets an update to improve performance and stuff. And they still have DLC to sell. There's still like a season pass, I believe, for that game. Same thing with Tomb Raider. They, you know, there's other things that they can sell alongside the game itself, and maybe they get people to really enjoy it in Game Pass, and then people buy the DLCs and stuff. I don't really know. I'm just saying, like, I just don't think it was. I just don't think it's like off. Like, Mikey Barr walks into his office on a Tuesday morning in February, and he's like, "What's Game Pass looking like, guys? Like, we don't know yet. We haven't made any calls." And he takes a look at the Xbox Most Played chart, and Steam is like, oh, Just Cause 4. Why don't you give Square Enix a call? Get Just Cause 4 on. I bet you they need some. I have a feeling those deals are made.
With that voice?
I don't know. Well, you know Mike's voice. I can't really do Mike's voice, but you know what I mean. Since Mike is in charge of Game Pass. But yeah. Halo Master Chief Collection, Jez.
Yes.
We're expecting big news on Tuesday at the Inside Xbox episode. I know they said there's going to be some big news at South by Southwest, but they said they moved it forward.
Come on. This is the worst kept secret in gaming.
Tell the people what we're getting at this. Are you saying that the announcement that... All right, well, just talk, and I'll talk afterwards. Go ahead.
Well, the rumor is, quote-unquote rumor, is that it's coming to PC. You're going to get Halo Master Chief Collection on PC. That is the rumor, and it comes from Brad Sam's podcast. Although, it's something we've been hearing for ages, right? And I'm sure we've talked about this before, or maybe we haven't. I don't know. But that's the rumor. And people are excited about this, Ryan. I was looking at like tweets and comments and stuff like that, and Halo's a really big brand, and it's sort of like one of those games where PC gamers have never got to enjoy it, and it makes total sense. You know, I think it could really blow up on PC.
I believe it is also Microsoft's last best chance of getting people to adopt and play games on the Windows 10 store. I agree. Halo's their biggest franchise, bar none. And I agree. Halo Master Chief Collection is it's a big one, you know. And if you're right, if Brad Sams is right, you know, do you feel confident that the announcement is coming at Inside Xbox?
I mean, possibly.
Well, what else could they even talk about? Because I'm thinking, like, why? Okay, they already talked about the 4K update. It's in Game Pass. Why even kind of like lead, okay, Master Chief Collection news at Inside Xbox, unless they were adding Halo Reach to it, which is a possibility, I guess. They never really declined. But the big news would be it's coming to Windows 10 PC, and it's part of their initiative of redoing the whole store, and it's part of Game Pass on PC.
And it's going to get mouse and keyboard on Xbox too.
Mouse and keyboard? Oh man, you just angered a whole bunch of people right there.
Well, in separate playlists, of course.
Separate playlists. Ah, I see.
They're not going to put mouse and keyboard players against controller players. I mean, they're going to have separate playlists. Like, they'll have like a mixed console and PC keyboard and mouse playlist and stuff like that.
So
there's so many playlists with all sorts of different rules on Halo. So they can totally do that.
So how many people will be upset that this will be only available on the Windows 10 store?
Well, the thing is, a lot of the issues of the Windows 10 store pertain to how lame it is. Now, back in the day when Halo Horizon 3, can you imagine? But no, Forza Horizon 3. When Forza Horizon 3 launched on the Windows 10 store, it couldn't handle the size of the download. The app was broken, you know, and that's where a lot of the negativity comes from. But now it works for the most part, you know. I mean, there's still issues where some games don't give you an error message if they crash, which is annoying. And there's other weird anomalies like that where, like, if you have too many Windows 10 devices connected to your Microsoft account, it can actually just, the store can just stop working, and it doesn't tell you why it stopped working. You just have to know, oh, maybe I've gone over my device limit, which you'll only know if you're a nerd like me. So there are still issues with it, and Microsoft are bringing out a new client which will serve PC gamers better, but it doesn't have the same issues that it used to have, where the games just wouldn't download or install and stuff like that. So I think as a delivery mechanism for Halo Master Chief Collection, I think it'll be fine as long as they make sure it actually works properly and people can actually get the game, because it's been fine for Sea of Thieves. Like, Sea of Thieves has done pretty well without any Steam support, so I've heard. So I think, like, they just need to keep building out the store, making it work and stuff like that. And I think, like, the store's in a place where it can at least let people download the game. I think it's going to be a big deal, man. I mean, it would be a bigger deal if it was coming to Steam, sure. But why would Microsoft give them 30% when they don't have to, you know? If people want to play Halo, then they can download it straight away. And it helps Windows 10 as well, which, by the way, just hit 800 million devices.
I saw that, 800 million devices.
Yes, indeed.
But also, going into the whole idea of Halo on PC, which I think that'll be the announcement. I mean, I don't really know for sure, but I think that's really the only thing they can announce. The PC community will be really happy with this news because they've wanted Halo on PC for some time. It's Microsoft's last best chance to get people to use Windows 10. They've talked about the restructuring, but there is also something that Brad Sams had mentioned recently in one of his videos that you wanted to talk about. I don't really know. I didn't make a video about it because, quite frankly, I didn't really understand it. It's something to do with the State of Decay and the Windows Insider build, where the version of State of Decay that was downloading wasn't the Windows version. It was the Xbox version. Like, it was downloaded. It was like the Xbox version of the game. And there's kind of like the thought that Microsoft is just going to basically put all these Xbox games on the Windows 10 store and have, like, oh, here's all these games. Xbox games on Windows 10 stores are, you know, PC stuff. Yeah. But you know more about it than me. You may explain it to me, explain it to everybody, and what's really going on with that.
Well, one of the things people have been wondering about this whole Halo on PC and State of Decay 1 on PC is, like, is this just the Xbox version running on PC? No, it isn't. It's not at all. Like, a huge amount of work has been done to bring Master Chief Collection to PC and make it a PC game. It's not just simply an Xbox port. You know, it's going to have all the stuff PC gamers want. If it's true, by the way, I'm not saying it's true. It's just a rumor, guys. But if it is true, then it'll have all the stuff that PC version has. And like State of Decay 1 on the Windows Store, it has resolution sliders and all that sort of stuff, because it isn't the Xbox version. It is actually the Win32 version from Steam. So, I mean, we don't have to go into this into too much detail, but basically, just because Microsoft's supporting the Microsoft Store more and trying to push Windows 10, because that's part of Xbox's job, right, is to make gaming better on Windows 10 on their platform, to help their company effort as a whole. There will always be separate versions for Xbox and PC. It's going to be easier. It's going to be easier for devs to make a game that runs across Xbox and PC, but they'll still have to make two separate versions. And they're not just going to, it's not just going to be a case of, like, I'm sure this will happen, and this has happened before. I think this happened with Ark Survival Evolved. Not Ark Survival Evolved. What was that? What was that pirate game that the Ark Survival Evolved devs made? I can't remember what it's called now.
Damn, the one that ever Atlas, I think.
Atlas, yeah. So like when they ported Atlas, when they ported Atlas, like it had like all the menus from Ark Survival Evolved in it because they just left the code in there. And I'm sure that will happen sometimes, you know, with indie devs and stuff like that. But like, it's never going to be a case of, oh, I've got an Xbox game and then you press a button and oh, now I've got a PC game. It's never going to be a case of that. That's all I wanted to put out there. Hello?
Okay. That's all you wanted to put out there. I mean, I'm really interested in seeing how Microsoft can improve their PC efforts because I'm not on, how do I say this? I think try as much as Microsoft might with PC, I don't think they're going to get anywhere.
I disagree.
I don't think PC gamers care, right? I don't think, and here's how you could get them to care. Sure, Halo is a step in the right direction, but it's just one game. They're not, Microsoft's not in to get just one game. They want people to use the Windows 10 store like they use Steam or like they use Epic, right? Now, what would get Steam users to really look at Windows 10? And it would be content that they can't get anywhere else. And that would have to come from Microsoft themselves. Microsoft would have to start putting out amazing games that you can't miss. Like, if you miss out on this experience, then you're not part of the cool club, so to speak.
Well, that's kind of why they've bought 50.
I know. And I think some of them will create that content and some of them won't. But still, at the end of the day, I'm just not sure the PC crowd cares about anything on Windows 10. I think they'll just be, unless Halo Infinite and Gears 5 and Obsidian's next game after the Outer Worlds and the Initiative's next game are legit game changers in the way of, oh my God, this is next level stuff and I'm going to actually use the Windows 10 store. I'm not sure that's going to happen. I just think PC players have an intense distrust of Microsoft regardless because of how they've tried to do PC gaming in the past.
I think they can get around it and just sort of make people see it as another launcher, similarly to how, you know, nobody bitches that Overwatch isn't on Steam, you know. Literally nobody cares.
Right, and nobody
Battle.net is a decent launcher. What Microsoft needs to do is have its storefront, but also have a launcher, you know, where like you do all your Xbox Live stuff, your messages, all that sort of stuff, but also maybe just for Xbox games and maybe like with a strip across the bottom, which showcases other games that are in the store and stuff like that. Like make it like a launcher. And I think people won't be so pissed about it, but it has to be a good launcher because the Xbox app we've got now on Windows 10, frankly, is garbage, and it does that stuff, you know. It has the messages, it has party chat on PC, it even lets you launch games from it, but it's slow. It has these really slow clunky animations and these really slow loading times that take a million years versus a Win32 app. The fact that it's built on UWP probably doesn't help matters because UWP just seems to be slow when you make a complicated app. So that needs to be completely scrapped and overhauled, like in Electron or Win32 or something like that. Because that's just the fact is that it's terrible. And, you know, sorry if anyone likes it out there, but it's just, you compare it to Steam, there's no comparison.
I wish Microsoft the best. we'll see though. Like, obviously they're planning a lot of big stuff for PC, so we'll see if it all pans out for them. I'm just not so sure. I'm just a little bit doubtful. I'm just not sure the Steam guys will care, you know, but that's on Microsoft to change. They're the ones who made this problem in the first place, and it's their problem to fix.
Yep. I'm confident, though. I think they will pull it off, and maybe they're never going to replace Steam, but I think they can at least make
a viable competitor. Yeah.
Not even a competitor. I think it just needs to be, like, at least as good as the Battle.net launcher where nobody complains about it. Nobody complains about the Battle.net launcher. Maybe Microsoft can achieve that with the Xbox stuff.
So, Jazz, there is a brand new Xbox console set to debut in May.
Yes.
Windows Central had the deets. You wrote an article, and you also started a meme.
I did?
Well, I mean, not you particularly, but Microsoft themselves with the supposed name of it. The Xbox One S All Digital Edition, which people have now started calling the Xbox One Sad Edition.
But I don't understand, like, if they're abbreviating the S, or, like, adding the S to the acronym, why aren't they adding the E to the acronym? Shouldn't it be SAID?
No. Xbox One Sad Edition. I mean, I guess, I don't know. Either way, like, Mike, I still think it's hilarious. So what's going on?
The thing is, right, they're going to change the name based on this meme, and everyone will say, oh, you got it wrong, Jez.
Yeah, you got it wrong. So what's going on with this digital edition? What's all the details surrounding it? Tell us.
Okay, so, and this is what we heard from, I mean, the fact that this leaked is just indicative of how close it is to be hitting retailers and stuff like that. Like, partners are getting their hands on it now. And according to, see, I never leak something like this unless I have hard evidence.
Yes. We know. We need to have multiple sources, and it needs to be hard evidence before Jez Corden will take it to print.
Yes. So documents and that sort of thing. On the documents I saw, it's called the Xbox One S All Digital Edition. So, and that means it has no bloody disc drive. Mm. Beyond that, I have no clue. People have asked me, how much is it going to cost? No idea. People have asked, is it going to actually be physically smaller? Are they going to revise the design in any way? I have no idea. If you had to guess, Rand, do you think the design is going to be revised in any way, or is it literally just going to be like our Photoshop mock-ups where the disk drive strip is gone?
I think this version will just... It'll be the same thing, just with the disk drive removed. I mean, I would like for it to be a little bit smaller, but I think for at least this first iteration of it, I think it'll just be like the same size, no disc drive.
Do you remember how small Sony managed to get the PS2?
I remember. It was extremely small.
It was almost as small as a DVD case.
Yeah.
They got it really damn small. I would love in the future if they could get an Xbox One S that small.
I would imagine the price, you're probably going to be looking at $199.
You reckon $199?
$199 US. I think that's, anything more than that is no go. I honestly think the S is too expensive as is. Hell, I think the X is too expensive at $500 right now. Same thing with the PlayStation line. I think the PlayStations are too expensive too. Like, we're 6 years into this generation, seventh year. I think the hardware prices are too high. Now, Sony can get away with it because they're selling millions all the time, and you know they're at 100 million. But like, I think the lowest you can get an Xbox One S right now on Amazon is like the Minecraft one for $250. I think that's way too expensive. So they can put this all digital version in, come in at $199 in May, and then for the holidays they can drop it to $149, like Mojo Blue says. Mojo Blue says it's going to be $149. I don't think Microsoft prices it that low, because they can sell it to you for $149 at the holidays, and you know, so I think $199 is where they're gonna land. If I had to guess, if I had to put money on it and there was a gun pointed at my head and be like, what is the price of it gonna be? I'm saying it's $199.99 and probably comes with 3 months of Game Pass, Jez? 6 months of Game Pass? I would imagine Game Pass is bundled in there. More than just like a free 14-day trial. I would think they put some incentives in there. So it's like, here's 6 months of Game Pass. Because I think that's what they really want. They want people to get more transition to the digital ecosystem. They want more Game Pass subs. And this would be a good way of introducing that. So then, I don't know. I think that's what's going to happen. I am interested if they change the name, though, Jez. Maybe Microsoft's like, who cares? Nobody's really going to care besides some fanboys on the internet that it, you know, shortens to Xbox One Sad.
I agree. I mean, people call it the X-Bone, right? But
yeah, really, they've been calling it the X-Bone the entire, you know, generation, so maybe they don't even care.
Nobody in the public calls it that, though. Nobody in the public's going to call it the Sad Edition.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see if people really do adopt this, though. I'll be quite curious.
This is like, it's totally an experiment, right? If nobody buys it, then, you know, Anaconda and Lockhart will definitely come with disk drives. But if it does really well, and we don't know if it'll do well, and obviously the price will be reflected in that, you can probably expect that they might do versions of Lockhart and Anaconda without disk drives. I remember Brad Sams, shout out to him, by the way, for all the Epic leaks and stuff like that recently he's been doing. I recall him saying before that the jury's out on whether or not they'll have diskless versions. And I think, like, really, you have to test the market. You know, they couldn't come out without the option. But at the same time, if they add an option that has no disk drive, then that's going to increase their cost, right? Because they'll have to have additional assembly lines and additional distribution and stuff like that. And they'll end up with 4 SKUs at launch, which is a lot of shelf space in retail.
You mean at the launch of Anaconda and Lockhart?
Yes.
See,
if they have a version that has no disk drives and a version that does have a disk drive, that's a lot of shelf space to try and convince.
Yeah, which is why I don't think it'll be like that. I think it'll just be, here's Anaconda, here's Lockhart. I don't think there'll be, well, here's one without a disk drive and one with the disk drive. I don't think so. It'll just be those versions. And I think, honestly, at that point, there only will be 3 Xboxes available. It'll be the Xbox One All Digital Edition. It'll be Lockhart and it'll be Anaconda. Because I predict and I think the X will be phased out right around the time Lockhart comes out, because Lockhart's going to be better than the X at a cheaper price. So what's the point of the X? They'll completely...
Do we actually know?
I'm just saying, if it is, judging off of what you have reported in your leaks at Windows Central and what Brad Sams have reported, the Lockhart is going to be better than the X. And the X is $500 right now.
That is 100% Brad. I have no idea what the internals of the S and the Anaconda and Lockhart are going to be yet. And I don't know if it'll be better than the X. But I would be surprised if it's better than the X and cheaper. I would be very surprised, honestly.
Well, see, first off, the Lockhart's going to have a much, much better CPU in it. Like, we know that from the start. The GPU will be more efficient because it's going to be a next-generation GPU, but it probably won't be as powerful as the X's. Like, in my opinion, you have X at 6 teraflops. I could see the Lockhart being 4-ish. Because if they're going for price, it can't be that expensive. But because Lockhart's going to have a better GPU, a more efficient GPU, because it's like, you know, in the next generation AMD tech, and it has that better CPU, it's going to be a better piece of hardware. And there's no reason to even sell the X, because the X is $500 right now. Like, the next gen is supposed to come a year from now. They're not going to be able to get that price down that much. They'll just completely phase out the console. Right?
Yeah.
At least to me, at least that's the way I look at it. Like, the X will just be completely phased out. You'll have this digital edition for Xbox One S at $150 or whatever, and then you'll have Anaconda and Lockhart. You know, you have Lockhart at $300 and Anaconda at $500, if whatever. Like, I'm sure we'll eventually find out all the information about this stuff, but that's kind of the way I see it. Could be wrong, but I mean, yeah, Mojo Blue says 20 months from now. That's true, but like, I don't see the X being officially $300 in 20 months. Microsoft really hasn't dropped the price permanently on their consoles a lot this whole generation. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Either way, moving on. Game Pass, Jez.
Game Pass.
Game Pass. So how do we approach this topic? Because the last podcast we did, we talked about the rumors from Direct Feed Games and Game Informer and seemingly everybody in the game industry that said, yo, Game Pass is coming real soon to the Switch. Game Informer's like, we've heard the announcement is going to be this year, right? The Xbox community imploded. People were like, oh my God, they're taking my exclusives away. Oh God. People were waking up in cold sweats and crying all over the place. People were like, what's the point of Xbox if the exclusives are on the Switch, even if they're streamed? oh my god, it was cats and dogs, and it was animals on the streets. It was.
I would never, ever in a million years put credence in a rumor coming from a small YouTube channel. But when Game Informer were like, oh, yeah, our source.
Yeah, well, that's why I was like, oh. And, we, you know, we had heard rumors a year ago that something was in the works. And we had heard rumors recently, and it was just like, well, something might be, there's something going on. But like, so it was like, oh my god, Game Informer's saying this, and all these different places.
But then
like,
even Phil himself, Phil went on interviews and said like, we'll put Game Pass everywhere. He, like, to paraphrase, he basically said that.
Yeah.
So like, it was it was a perfect storm of, oh, that's a no brainer. It must be true then.
Right. And
but it's not.
And it makes sense from Xbox's and what they want to do, like their business plan of selling hard software to everybody. And people just assumed, myself included, that Nintendo would be on board, being like, yeah, let's do this. But according to Brad Sams, according to Jason Schreier, even, you know, Z Huge kind of chimed in and stuff, and what you've said, like, apparently not happening. And if it does happen, it won't happen for a long time.
Yeah. It's funny, you know, because it makes sense for them to put it there, you know, even if it's just like, even if it's just for games Microsoft has, even if it's just for games Microsoft publishes, like Ori and Cuphead and Minecraft, maybe, even though they don't need to add Minecraft to it, but like, even if it was just for like a handful of games that Microsoft is publishing, like maybe Wasteland 3, maybe even Gears Tactics and stuff like that, which would easily squash down onto a Switch, even if it was just for those games, for me it made sense, you know. And I wrote a whole editorial about why I thought it made sense and why Google, who doesn't have a console ecosystem to care about, they're not going to care what they put their games on if they make them. They're going to put them on everything. And they'll have to compete with Microsoft will have to compete with Google while being anchored to console hardware, which Google, that will give Google a massive advantage. Like, Google's going to use every screen it has, which is Android. You know, every time you do a Google search, potentially you'll be able to stream a game straight out of your browser, you know. So Microsoft has to compete with that, and it needs as many screens as it can. For me, it made sense. But according to, like, what I've heard too, it's just not a thing, you know. So, I don't know.
But also, people took what you had said in your article, that you had heard that rumor, the same one that I heard, that it was coming to Switch and PlayStation, and then use their articles to say, well, it's coming to PlayStation now.
Yeah, I put in that article, like, I'd heard this rumor ages ago that it was coming to Switch and PlayStation from a credible source that has, you know, been time and time proven accurate. And I heard it from them, but I didn't believe it. Because I thought maybe they got something wrong, or it was just a plan, because it just seems so outlandish. Because since PlayStation didn't even want to compete with EA Access, why would they want to compete with Game Pass, you know? So I just put that in there to illustrate the point that there's been a lot of rumors about this stuff. And lo and behold, clickbait.
Lo and behold,
what's that website now? Comicbook.com or something?
Something like that, but yeah, they were the ones like, it's coming to PlayStation, right? Based on like what you had said, so many outlets and so many people ran with the, you know, the PlayStation thing, which, to be honest, like, to me, never made sense. Like, I don't understand why Sony would ever want Xbox Game Pass or Xbox Live near PlayStation. So it never made sense. Like, I could at least understand why it would happen for the Switch, and I still think it'll happen for the Switch. I think it'll happen down the road, years from now. I still think that is a legitimate thing that is going to happen at some point. But it doesn't sound like it's going to happen anytime soon. So, you know, if you're an Xbox fan that was like really getting close to the ledge, step back a little bit. You're good. Your games aren't really going anywhere just yet. Even though, like, you know, the games are on PC, which, you know, whatever, but whoo, that was some interesting. That week was really interesting when that report dropped, and then suddenly it was just like, which it's funny because I haven't really seen anybody put out a video saying it wasn't happening. Like, everybody put out videos and is talking about it like it's 100% confirmed, right? But then nobody put out any video besides me saying, oh, by the way, these people are basically saying it ain't happening.
I mean, people believed it because Phil had literally been on interviews and said, we'll put it where people want to play.
Right. You know? I think that's him just trying to say that. And, like, I don't, like, I'm sure, I know Phil wants it on the Switch. I know if Phil could, he'd put it on the PlayStation. He wants it everywhere. But that doesn't mean Nintendo and Sony want it, right? Phil's like, we'll put it where everyone wants to play. But it's like, you got to get Nintendo's permission. And maybe, you know, maybe Microsoft will find a way sometime in 2021 or 2022 to get it on there. I don't really know. All I know is that I guess it's not happening. And yeah, which is, I mean, I'm, look, if that helps Xbox people from, you know, doing bad things to themselves, then I guess so be it. Yeah, but speaking of hardware, Jez, because there was this whole thing, like, even if it came to Switch, it would have to come via xCloud. But xCloud ain't even ready yet.
No.
Nobody even knows if xCloud is going to work great or efficiently or whatever. And, like, when Game Informer's like, oh, the announcement's going to come this year, I was thinking to myself, even then, I was just like, well, okay, but xCloud doesn't, like, you would have to not only test xCloud on mobile phones, maybe even test it on the Xboxes, you'd have to run tests on the Switch. Like, it just seems like it's not really going to work. I don't know. But either way, you wrote an article yesterday. I made a video about it because it was such a damn good article.
Oh, thank you.
About how Xbox hardware, the Anaconda, the Lockhart, there's fear among a lot of people. Real fear.
Fear and celebrations, actually.
Well, celebrations from some people, of course, but some fear among Xbox players that, and some of it is, to be fair, I think it's a legitimate fear. Some of it is, of course, stoked by trolls on the other side. Some of it's stoked by dooming, what'd you call them? Doom merchants?
Doomsayers.
Doomsayers on
that's actually from World of Warcraft.
Yeah. So, you know, from people stoking the fears, right? And they're saying, like, oh, Xbox hardware is done after this gen, after Anaconda and Lockhart are done and over with. It's all streaming all the time, baby. If you want to get console hardware, too bad. We got a console for you. It's called the PlayStation 5 or PlayStation 6. But you wrote five reasons why that's not the case and why Xbox hardware will be here presumably past next generation or presumably past this next generation into the one after it.
Yep.
So let's go over your reasons. What was the reason, Jez, in your mind?
Oh, man, you're asking me to remember off the top of my head.
Okay. One was Surface.
Okay, you remember. You remember my own
article. I remember everything. You know I remember everything.
My memory's not so good. But, yeah, number one was Surface. So, like, you know, you can look at what Microsoft is doing with the Surface line to get a good idea of what they're thinking about with hardware right now. They think of Surface as showcasing the best of Windows, and basically, Xbox will showcase the best of Xbox console hardware, that is. But, like, yeah, you'll be able to stream games at 720p or 1080p, maybe 30 frames per second to a tiny screen in your palm. But you'll also be able to play them in glorious 4K 60 frames per second with FreeSync, with mouse and keyboard, using console hardware. And Microsoft will continue to do that because it's simply because they can. They have a huge industrial design team. There are more people working on console hardware at Xbox than ever before. So I don't know why anyone would think or force themselves to think in some cases of YouTubers that Microsoft wants to ditch hardware. They simply don't. You know, they will continue to support hardware for as long as there are people who want hardware. And yeah, maybe one day the business reality will be that people just simply don't care about buying games physically anymore, and maybe they'll drop the disc drive. Like, it's hard to get a laptop that has a disc drive now, but you can still buy external disc drives if you want that experience. But you know, maybe the market for people who actually want a console baked with a disc drive will go away, but and maybe the market for people who actually literally want to buy discs and want to buy their games outright will go away. Maybe the market for people who want to have native console hardware will go away if and when wireless technology becomes so good that the experience is hard to, you can't discern the difference between the experiences. But I don't think we'll ever get there. I don't think we'll get there to a point where having it locally isn't the best option simply because of the laws of physics, you know. Mm-hmm. I think, like, even if Microsoft does grow Azure to a point where they've got, like, every street corner has Microsoft Azure, there'll still be times when it's down. There'll still be times when, you know, GPU technology outpaces what they can do with getting server upgrades and stuff like that. You know, I think, like, for as long as there's a PC market and as long as there's a market for GPUs and stuff like that, I think there'll be console hardware to match it, you know. And also, it's, you know, it's just fun. I mean, Spotify hasn't killed CDs, you know. And bloody hell, vinyl's making a comeback of all things. As long as there's a market for it, they'll keep doing it.
Right.
Like World of Warcraft. They say, like, people always ask Blizzard, like, why don't you make World of Warcraft 2? And it's like, well, people still, there's still a market for World of Warcraft 1 14 years later. There's still a market, they'll still do it. So that's the first reason. The second reason is
retailers. You know, because Microsoft needs retailers to push their hardware, to push everything that they do to the consumers. And there's they sell physical games, and physical games still sell, they still sell more copies of physical games than they do digital games. And Microsoft would be, you know, if, and there's that thought, if they went all digital or went all streaming, that these companies wouldn't really, you know, stock their products anymore. You just would seed everything over in the PlayStation and Nintendo. You lose that, like, mind share of walking into a Best Buy gaming section or searching on Amazon for something. Like, they may just be like, you know what? There's really nothing in it for us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then number three was, like, I think the strongest one was the xCloud is Xbox hardware. Like, the whole way of streaming Xbox games to mobile is based around Xbox hardware in the first place.
I think it's funny that Microsoft even bothered to mention that in their announce video, because who would really care, really, about what powers xCloud, you know? And I think the fact that they bothered to include that is telling, because they're basically saying, look, this thing is powered by Xbox hardware. And it's always going to be powered by Xbox hardware. If it supports the Xbox 360 backwards compatible stuff, if it supports Xbox One games and forever, it needs to always be Xbox hardware, because, Rand, only Xbox hardware can run that stuff, because it's not based on whatever they're doing with Windows, where they're going to have a new system where they can run games across both devices more efficiently. All those backwards compatible games are going to require backwards compatible hardware, basically. So I don't think there's a scenario where they stop making hardware for a simple case of when it does come to the day when they want to upgrade the servers to run 4K game streams, and they'll just use, you know, the Xbox hardware that already exists. It's a simple case of just sticking in a server rack, you know. It's pretty obvious, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, but it's not really obvious to a lot of people, though.
Yeah.
That's why everybody gets upset. But yeah, so number four was something that you mentioned, I think, earlier, but it was the licensing issues.
Yeah, so I think, like, people who think that, we don't know for sure what the case is, but I think people who think that they're going to get all their Xbox games on Project X Cloud day and date launch, I think they're going to be surprised to find that no. I think developers are going to want a say in how their games are monetized, which means Microsoft is probably going to have to license those games again to get them into xCloud. So I don't think xCloud is even going to have everything on launch. So, like, if you want all your games, you're still going to need Xbox hardware. If you want, like, some of your games, then you can use Project xCloud, at least to start with. Obviously, don't know what the future holds there, but in the immediate future. No, it's not going to have all the games. I don't think. Obviously, we don't know, but I'd put money down. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think I think there's over 3,000 games right now on Xbox One. I don't think. God, I'm not even sure how many would it be available streaming. Is like 1,000, like a pie in the sky number? Because it's 1,500. You know, Microsoft's going to have to like renegotiate the licenses for every single one of that game. How long is that going to take?
Yeah.
Will they launch with like, oh, here's streaming and oh, well,
and you've got to remember,
we only got 100 games.
Yeah. You've got to remember as well. EA set up its own streaming system. So EA will just be like, you know what? We don't want to support xCloud because it competes with our system.
Well, yeah.
So we'll make our own system. You know?
And I'm sure there'll be some companies who don't want it streaming at whatsoever. I'm sure there'll be some companies that are doing their own thing, like you said, with EA. I don't know. There's so many different like scenarios for that. Like, who knows? Like, I don't expect, even though Microsoft, I think, has said in their GDC talks that every game on the store could be streamable, right? Like on the Microsoft store. It doesn't necessarily
it's just Xbox hardware. So
right. And I mean, same thing with like the 360 back compat stuff. There's only what, 500 games back compat, which is I think a third of the library. You would think a developer or publisher would want their game back compat just for the extra sales, considering they don't have to do like all the work. But there's still some games missing. Some publishers and developers just don't care or want it or whatever. You know, like, not really sure. And I could see that being an issue with streaming. Plus, who knows? Some companies might sign an exclusive deal with Google. Like, what if Ubisoft's like, you know what? Google's paying us. All of our games are, you know, if you want to stream our games, they're through Google. That could very well be something that happens, right? So, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting future, which is why Xbox hardware, like you said, is going to be needed. If you want to play all the games, well, you can rest assured all the games will be playable on the hardware, not necessarily streamable. And then you said, I think you ended it with your final point that philosophically, they just want to serve every type of gamer out there. Whether you're someone who plays on the mobile phone or plays on console hardware or plays on PC, that Microsoft will be there catering to your needs, right?
Yeah, that's the idea.
That's the idea. But Jez, let me tell you why you're wrong and why the console hardware is going to end after this next generation. No. And it'll be only streaming.
No, why, Rand?
I'm just saying that's what a YouTuber would say.
Oh.
I agree with your points, but let me tell you why you're wrong.
Oh. Is that what they know?
Yeah.
Damn them.
Damn them all. But, I mean, you would figure once next generation starts, though, getting back to the licensing things, like that will be included as standard as like new negotiations when they're making a game for next gen.
Like, I don't know, because like at the same time, Microsoft doesn't want to the new 2019 Microsoft under Phil doesn't want to force gamers to play a certain way on a certain device. They want them to do that and stuff. I think Microsoft isn't going to force developers into streaming deals. I don't think Phil Spencer's philosophy is to force developers to support a platform that they might not want to support. For example, EA is making a competing product. So maybe EA doesn't want it, you know. So I don't think they've forced developers into that. But it's gonna be good regardless, because there's still gonna be tons of games in there, especially like quality indie games. Especially the indie games, actually, because there's a lot of indie games that I might play casually on the sofa, on my phone, that I might not play when I'm sitting at a 4K screen, you know? I don't know.
You don't know.
It's a funny, interesting future is coming.
It's
a lot of unknowns. And I think, like, by the end of the next couple of years, the landscape for gaming is going to look very different. Remember this podcast. Because I think in the next couple of years, maybe even the next year, the landscape of gaming is going to look so completely different when Google and Tencent start spinning up their streaming platforms, when Amazon get involved, you know, and then God knows what else is in the pipeline. But I think the whole this whole console war thing is going to seem really childish when all the things we're predicting come to pass, I think.
The console war childish. Say it ain't so, Jez. That strikes
say it
at
ain't
people.
So. It's gonna seem like small fry, you know, compared to what's coming.
Yeah. One last topic, and then we'll open it up to some questions. Amy Henning had an interesting interview recently where she said things are clearly not working the way they used to, and that mass layoffs are a red flag that AAA development must change, and that shift to outsourcing feels inevitable. And that, like, she even talked about how, like, a game like Uncharted 1 would not be greenlit in today's climate. That there might be something wrong with AAA development. And
well, we've heard that
area in the coal mine stuff. We're like, yeah. Like, can this really go on forever? And that, as someone who enjoys AAA games as well as indies, you know, the industry crashing would be horrible for me, because I really enjoy the video game industry, right? And D.I. Almighty Gotten Spartan God says, Amy Henning can't just find a hit when it comes to games. Yeah, ever since he left Sony, she hasn't really had a lot of success with, you know, the games she's made. But there is a little bit of worry. I mean, we talked about Just Cause 4, right? A game that's on Game Pass after 3 months. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, a game that's on Game Pass after 5 months. People, you mentioned during that segment how people wait for Steam sales and things of that nature. Like, now you have free-to-play games bundled in with $60 games, but every game wants you to play their game forever, right? Overwatch wants you to play it forever. Fortnite wants you to play it forever. Like, they all want you to play it forever and not go and play something else. But
this is why,
the same, you know, like, it hasn't really grown that much.
Yeah.
So
this is why things like Project X Cloud are absolutely imperative, because it improves access, which in turn leads to more types of games that you can play, because you presumably you'll be accessing more consumers and more types of consumers. Like the console market's saturated. You know, there's a very specific type of person, very specific type of gamer, you know, who wants those experiences. And things like Fortnite have changed the game, man. I mean, like, it's like I was talking about earlier with EA not wanting to spend the cash to really make those complicated experiences. It's why Dragon Age 4 has gone back to the drawing board, because I reckon EA is thinking, oof, we can't afford to make a game this complicated or this expensive. It's too much of a bloody risk, you know. So, like, things like xCloud and, you know, Game Pass and stuff like that, not only are they additional revenue streams, but they're also about improving access and improving the amount of eyeballs that they can potentially sell games to. But then again, it's like, is everyone just going to play Apex Legends? You know, you said yourself, you can't stop playing Apex Legends. Meanwhile, Metro Exodus is sitting there gathering dust, you know.
Right, so, but I mean, I did buy Metro Exodus, so the money was spent. But yeah.
Yeah, but that's because you've got the money to spend. Most people just won't bother. They won't bother buying Metro Exodus. They'll just play Apex Legends because it's free. You know, especially youngsters who are growing up in this environment where, like, everything's free, you know, and you buy the other bits and pieces later. Like, I don't know if there is an industry where these sort of AAA complicated RPGs still happen, you know. And Sony's booked the trend for sure, but it's like, is Sony really the only one who can pull that off now? Are we ever going to see a new Mass Effect? Are we ever going to see a Dragon Age that approaches that level of quality? You know, if Cyberpunk 2077 flops, is that the end of RPGs from CD Projekt Red? You know, stuff like that.
Well, so DI says games that are not good will get dissed by gamers, not matter if they're single player or multiplayer. Gamers choose what they want. She's just been complaining because she failed. I don't think that's the case. I think she brings up an excellent point when she says Uncharted 1, a game that if you pitch today, that was just a 6 to 8 hour experience with no replayability, with no multiplayer, is a game that none of these publishers would greenlit. Like, even Sony probably wouldn't greenlit it. Like, you think of the games that Sony greenlits now, yes, they're single-player games, but they're also on the longer side. Like, God of War is a 25 to 30-hour experience. There's talk that Days Gone is 30 hours long. Horizon Zero Dawn was an open-world adventure that was 30 hours long. Spider-Man was, like, 15 hours long. Yeah, sure, if you didn't do the open-world stuff, you could finish it fast. But even the single-player games that Sony tends to greenlit are on the longer side, open-world-ish. I think that's important to note. It's not really a surprise that some of the games that, you know, you played early last gen wouldn't necessarily fly in this generation now. It's just, I don't know. I think we're moving away from that. Like, how long before every multiplayer is free to play, Jez? After the success of Apex and Fortnite, where people just look at it and be like, you know what? If we want to compete, our stuff needs to be free, so it can reach as many people as possible. Like, Battlefield 5 is about to release their Battle Royale soon, but nobody cares. And is that because nobody cares? Well, I'm saying, like, sure, I'll check it out, but, like, nobody really cares because Apex is out, Fortnite's out, PUBG's out. Plus, nobody cared about Battlefield 5 in the first place. It's one of the worst mangled launch out there, and it's coming months after the game's out, right? Like, I'm just kind of curious to see, like, the multiplayer stuff and how that's going to go into next gen and be like, everything's got to be free. You know, how can you compete with Fortnite? You can't. The only way you can compete with Fortnite is if you're also offering a free product so everybody can play it, which is what Apex did. You know, is Halo Infinite's multiplayer going to be able to compete on that level? Maybe, because at least with Halo Infinite, it might be on Game Pass. So we could, and I know it's not free, but there's a low barrier to entry. Same thing with, like, Gears of War, but, like, yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I think Ubisoft's going to keep on doing what Ubisoft does, which are those open-world collectathons with loot, right? Mm. The game industry's, I don't know, changing quite a bit, but hit us up with some questions, guys, and we will definitely answer it. One last topic, Jez. We've got 280 people watching. Make sure you guys hit the like button. EA not having a press conference at E3.
Good.
Does this signal the end of E3? Like, so you're right. It's good because EA's press conferences have notoriously been bad. Absolutely.
Their press conferences are just, I can't remember who tweeted it, so shout out to whoever did, but I saw a great tweet which described the situation with EA's press conferences and basically said, wow, those YouTube cringe compilations about E3 are going to be really short this year because no EA conference.
Yeah, no EA.
Their conferences are the worst. Cringe, awful stuff. I'm glad they're not having one. But at the same time, is this the end of E3? I don't think so. I mean, still loads of people buy tickets. Loads of people go there every year.
Well, I'm not saying, like, E3's over, as in, like, oh, well, there's no more E3, because clearly, you know, they've added the whole thing with people can buy tickets. But I'm talking about, like, EA pulled out. They're doing their own thing. Now they're not even doing a press conference. Sony's not going to be there this year. Bethesda pulled out. They're not really a part of E3. They do their own press conference. Microsoft pulled out, even though they Microsoft's not at E3.
They're still giving money to ESA through Mixer.
Right, Mixer's there, but not Microsoft. So Xbox has kind of pulled out, and they do their own thing in collaboration with E3. I have a feeling, and this is just kind of my feeling, but once E3 2020 comes and goes, where Sony returns to E3 and Microsoft goes to E3, and it's the battle of next gen, the consoles, all the games, right? I have a feeling after that, E3 won't ever be the same. Like, Sony will pull out, I think, and Microsoft will end up doing their own thing. EA won't bother having press conferences because we're in the age now where you can just do a Twitch stream and get as many views and eyeballs as you would being at E3.
Look at Nintendo Direct, man. The Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Exactly.
Game of the year 2019, already confirmed.
So, I mean, I don't really think you need it. I think times have changed, which is unfortunate because E3 is like the Super Bowl to me and to a lot of people.
It's kind of like, how do you monetize it? If you're, it costs a lot of money for them to do this, and Microsoft's gonna have a massive show this year, and they're gonna enjoy the fact that they've got the floor pretty much and they can do whatever they want. But at the same time, it's like, are they actually gonna feel getting value from that? You know, and I suppose for people like EA, where pretty much the only benefit they get from their shows is when people virally share all the cringe stuff from their press conferences. I don't know if it's worth it. Like, even Ubisoft's a pretty bad overall. I don't know.
Anyways, let's see.
Send more questions. Give us some more questions, guys.
Let's see. DI Unready Spotting God says, did you see Halo 2 is free in Game Pass with Gold in April? I did not. And Jez, is Halo 2 even part of Xbox back compat? I don't think it is. Is it?
I don't know. It's part of the Master Chief Collection.
It's part of the Master Chief Collection. I don't think it's part of the OG Xbox back compat program. So unless they announce it somewhat soon, I would say that is probably fake. Here's the thing: people make fake Game Pass videos all the time. Unless you're saying Master Chief Collection is, you know, part of is Games of Gold for April, maybe. Although that's also in Game Pass, I can't see it just being Halo 2. So, Subdocs wants to know: did you all talk about Turn 10 not turning development over to the next Forza Motorsport title? Jez, do you know anything about this? I know that there was something about Turn 10 today, where they said they're moving on from Forza Motorsport 7, to start development on the next game, and they're going to do more like an open development or something with like fan feedback and things of that nature.
I haven't seen this, no. Sorry.
I don't know. To be honest, when it comes to Forza Motorsport, I don't really care. Like, because I don't care about motorsport.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I just don't. I can't pretend to. I can't pretend to care about that boring-ass racing simulator.
You know, the thing that really annoys me about motorsport is that it's supposed to be a simulator, but there's no car damage. What's the point?
There's no car damage?
It's like, if you smash into a car at 150 miles an hour, it's supposed to turn into a chunk of metal, you know. Cars aren't, like, made of adamantium or something, but there's no car damage. So what this, you can't really call it a simulator, can you? It's just, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. What else? I just don't care about motorsport. I care about Horizon.
That's a good question from Goron.
What is it? I didn't see it.
Random Jez, is the Xbox brand permanently damaged? How would you move back from a 4-10 console sold ratio in the era of digital, where people will want to move with their libraries come next gen? That's a really good point. So he's basically saying that people are locked in to PlayStation because they've got all their digital stuff there and they don't want to switch over. And that's a good point that people haven't really considered much. I mean, I think I've said this on a podcast before, is that, like, there's pretty much nothing, I don't think there's anything Sony could do to get me to play my games on PlayStation permanently, just because I've got 500 games or around there on my Xbox One digitally, and I can't bring that with me to PlayStation 5. So, like, PlayStation 5 is not even a consideration for me. You know, it's like, unless like they screw up Anaconda and Lockhart so badly somehow, like when you turn them on, they explode or emit like poisonous gas or something. There is nothing that will stop me from buying an Xbox next gen just because I know all my games are there. So, like, is Microsoft coming from a position of total weakness as a result of that?
I mean, I don't think they're coming from a position of strength. But I also don't think they're coming from a position of weakness. They just have to gain back a lot of the consumer. Like, look, the faith in Xbox or consumer confidence in Xbox was hurt this gen, without a question. Microsoft screwed themselves. But I mean, Sony's. But you look at history. Sony screwed themselves with the PlayStation 3. They were able to come back and dominate for the next generation.
There was no digital stuff back then.
True, there wasn't. But what do people really care about? They care about great games, right? With the start of a next generation, the slate is wiped clean, right? You start over. And Sony, for the most part, did everything right this generation. And, of course, they were helped by Microsoft doing everything wrong. Now, all that Microsoft really needs to do is just start making incredible games. And people will be like, all right, that's all I really wanted from Microsoft is incredible content. The content's there. I can get the hardware, Xbox, console hardware, or I can get it on PC. It doesn't really matter. Microsoft just needs to build back their consumer trust. I think that's really it. I think it's the game situation, to be quite honest with you. And I think that's really sticks forefront in a lot of people's minds because Sony's had an amazing last 2 years, while Microsoft has had the worst 2 years. So it's a lot more fresh in people's minds that Sony is dropping all this great stuff and Microsoft isn't. But if Microsoft kind of just follows the pattern of Sony did, you know, reinvest in first party, which is what exactly they're doing, make great hardware, which is, you know, from the PS3 to the PS4, they did that, and just kind of be about the gamer, making great games for your audience, they're never going to sell as many consoles as Sony. Like, that is never going to happen. It's almost virtually impossible, but the memes can stop. People can look at Xbox in a much brighter light if that happens. I mean, that's kind of just my take on it. I don't know.
We'll see.
I mean, will they? That's an entirely different point.
That's another interesting thing. It's like if someone who isn't a gamer, like maybe they play, I don't know, just say, for example, and this is more of an Eastern thing, like China and maybe Japan and countries in that sort of hemisphere, India and stuff like that. If the people who are playing free-to-play Fortnite on their phones as their primary way of gaming, and Microsoft puts Halo on their phones via Project xCloud, maybe that's the thing that gets people to buy an Xbox then. It's like, you know what? I like this on my phone. But now I want to take it to a big screen, and I've got a big screen at home, so I might as well get an Xbox. Like, there might be a reverse effect there that didn't exist before, you know. And there's a lot of people out there who literally their only gaming is on their phones, you know, PUBG for phones and Fortnite for phones. It's alien to me, Rand. It is alien to me why someone would want to play Fortnite on a phone with a touchscreen and choose that over anything with a controller. But yeah, people do. Tens of millions of people do.
It is pretty weird. I ain't gonna lie. Axel also says, have you heard the latest PS5 price rumor stating it'll be $350? No. I have not. I've heard, like,
That sounds like wishful thinking rather than
that rumor. Sounds like someone just making shit up, to be honest with you. Like, look, has there been a console that has launched at 350? Like, start of a new generation?
How much was the GameCube? Nintendo DS. How much was that?
I don't know. Like, Sony, I don't know. Like, 350? I don't think so. 400? You're right around there. Maybe even 500. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know where I haven't seen any of these things. Maybe I just haven't looked hard enough, but I think it's more likely people are just wishfully thinking, like, oh, the PS5 is going to be 350. You know,
350.
Face wants to know, do you believe the release dates leaks for Ghost of Tsushima and Last of Us 2 are real? So there's a leak by a retailer that Last of Us 2 is scheduled for October 26th and that Ghost of Tsushima is scheduled for August 30th. Do I believe both of those are real? No, I don't. I've been on the train that Ghost of Tsushima is a 2020 title since it was first announced, and I have doubts that Last of Us 2 is coming out this year. And then I've, you know, you heard recently from Kojima himself that Death Stranding got delayed, or internally, like they missed kind of some of their, you know, internal things. And it's entirely possible, when I've talked to people on the PlayStation side that are really good sources of mine, and I asked them what's going on the PlayStation, what's going on after Days Gone and Dreams, and they're just like, don't know, because Sony doesn't know. I don't know. Like, it looks like all three of those games are 2020. Maybe one of them comes out this year. I don't know. Like, it's, I couldn't tell you. I honestly think there's a distinct possibility Ghost of Tsushima, Death Stranding, and Last of Us 2 are 2020. But then that also, when you think about that and you say that, you're like, wow, that would be a killer 2020. But it's like, one of those games has to be 2019. And then you think about which game it could possibly be, and it's like, well, Last of Us 2? But Sony doesn't really release games in October. They usually release stuff in September. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Like, I'm going to go with no, I don't believe either of those. What about you, Jez?
No, I don't. I hope that Last of Us 2 gives me plenty of time to actually finish the first game.
Right now, my current most anticipated game is Ori and the Will of the Wisps. But if somehow Sony were to sneak in Last of Us Part 2 this year, that would be number one. So I'm sure we'll find out eventually. You know, Sony has all their kind of ducks right now in on Days Gone, and maybe we'll find out more about what's coming after PlayStation this year, sometime after Days Gone is come and gone. No pun intended. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've always kind of thought one of them would come out this year. I thought it was highly unlikely all three, and highly unlikely all two of them would come out. But then thinking about it, it's like, man, I'm going to ask you this, Jez. Does Sony need any of those three games to come out this year?
I don't think Sony needs anything. I mean, the gen's virtually over, and Sony just crushed it. I think Sony could get away with just not having any of them, probably.
So what if Sony was just like, internally, they were like, you know what, take your time, polish it up. Those three games will be launch titles for the PlayStation 5. Cross-gen with the PlayStation 4, of course.
I don't think they do that. I think, like, you'll see them sooner than that, but...
Or they just sprinkle them out at the end of 2020. Here's Ghost in March. Here's Last of Us in June. Here's Death Stranding in September.
Boom. I mean, that'd be a good way to sort of screw around with Microsoft's staggered releases that aim to keep people rolling into Game Pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm.
So you get those games out, and then, like, you also have their maybe, like, enhanced counterparts for the PlayStation 5. So you get people to play it again or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting. I'm kind of curious to see what Sony's plans are for the end of the year. Let's see. Any other questions? Joe Taylor wants to know, Randon Jez, is there anything more going on with Relic, like being acquired, or are they just staying as a second-party partner?
I think, like, when Cloverill put out that thing, it was pure fan art. It wasn't him teasing, although loads of websites and YouTubers went with that. I think it was fan art. And a quick Google search will show you that Relic is owned by Sega. So Microsoft would have to buy Relic from Sega. And I'm not sure why they would want to sell if the new Age of Empires game ends up really good, and I've heard that it is progressing nicely. Why would Sega just want to sell them? They'd rather keep them on board and be like, yeah, Microsoft, we'll give you Age of Empires 5, but you got to pay us. You know, it could be a cash cow for Sega. So unless Microsoft offered them a ton of cash, I can't see that happening. I don't see Relic. Yeah, I know Dawn of War 3 didn't perform as well as expected, but I don't think, why would they want to sell until they sell, they see how well Age 5 does, Age 4 does. Age 4 could reignite the franchise, you know, and put RTS back on the map. And maybe they've just decided that, yeah, maybe RTS just isn't that hot anymore. But, and maybe they want to sell on that basis because they simply don't want RTS stuff there anymore. But at the same time, Sega's also recently signaled interest in doubling down on their PC support. So I don't know why they'd want to get rid of a studio that could prove itself as an RTS, you know, heavyweight with Reignite and Age of Empires as a whole franchise. I don't believe the Relic rumor, but who knows, man?
You don't believe the Relic rumor. I think if Microsoft wants to make Age of Empires a thing, and I think you need your own developer to do it, which is kind of funny considering they had their own developer last gen, Ensemble, who they then shut down after Halo Wars and then hired Creative Assembly to make Halo Wars 2, and now they're hiring Relic to make Age of Empires when they had a developer already there who was doing Age of Empires, right, Jez?
It's almost as if they were complete idiots running the show back
then. Yeah, Don Matrick. Actually, I don't know. That wasn't Don Matrick, was it?
I don't know.
No, I don't think it was. It was whoever was before Matrick. But either way, if they want Age of Empires to be that big and they're thinking about making the franchise more viable and more releases, then they probably have to buy Relic. And maybe Sega doesn't really have anything for them to do. So it's like, yeah, give us some cash. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Possibly. I could see Relic happening, to be honest with you. And then I could see, of course, if they do announce an acquisition like that at E3, most Xbox gamers being like, who cares? They make RTSs. You know what I mean?
That's the funny thing, you know, like when most core Xbox fans, like, they don't care about Age of Empires, but I went to the Age of Empires sort of launch party in Germany. That franchise has a huge fan base. There are people still playing Age of Empires 2 to this day. You know, there's still tournaments being done in Age 2. And you've got Age 2 Definitive Edition and Age 3 Definitive Edition coming out soonish. So, like, people underestimate that franchise. And I think, like, if Relic does do a really good job on Age 4, I can see Microsoft wanting to have an Age studio again. But at the same time, I can also see Sega just thinking, we could turn this into a cash cow and just charge Microsoft for the privilege, you know. So I don't believe it. But I want to be wrong, because I think Relic could be a good addition to the lineup.
Right. One more question I think I saw in here was a good one. Let's see if I can find it again. Let's see if I can see it. I don't know where it is. Oh, so JSlayerJ66 wants to know, Rand, do you think Verizon will throttle xCloud for their customers because they are making their own streaming service now that net neutrality is gone?
Okay, so I'm going to field this one because it is a valid concern about ISPs causing trouble for xCloud stream services. And people DM me all the time about stuff like data caps and stuff like that. And it is a problem. You know, Microsoft knows that it's a problem. But I've heard, you know, months ago that Microsoft's actually working with carriers and providers to put them in on the whole xCloud thing. So, like, Microsoft has a lot of leverage. It's one of the biggest companies in the world. It was the most valuable company in the world for a few months. Like, it keeps slipping back and forth between Apple and Amazon, who's the biggest and most valuable. Microsoft has a huge amount of cloud clout, and, like, no one can really compete with them on the cloud thing except for Amazon. And Microsoft can sort of, they can provide things to ISPs to help sweeten those deals, like put them a good deal on Azure stuff and Office stuff, and they need computers too. And, you know, there's a lot of ways Microsoft can grease the wheels when it comes to getting xCloud through the whole net neutrality conundrum, through data cap conundrum, and all that sort of stuff. I wouldn't worry too much about that stuff because Microsoft is aware, and I think like they'll have a good plan in place when it comes to, you know, the American carrier market, which is awful, frankly. So that's what I think. What do you think? Do you have any thoughts?
I mean, the net neutrality thing is always very tricky to see.
Didn't the Democrats introduce a bill to restore net neutrality?
I don't know about that. I mean, Verizon is coming out with their own game streaming service that xCloud would compete with. You know, I guess it's possible they could throttle people's speeds. I mean, you always hear the stories about Comcast throttling Netflix customers' speeds. Yep. Until Netflix and Comcast worked out a deal. Maybe Microsoft is going to have to work out deals with a lot of these internet conglomerates to be like, you know what? Don't throttle the speeds of our customers. Don't, you know, have what they're streaming included in their data cap, because all that stuff is kind of going to be important. But maybe we're a couple years, you know, away from all that stuff. Microsoft has a lot on their plate. So, but yeah, that's the podcast, guys. I hope you really enjoyed it. You know, if you did, make sure to hit the like button, you know, share this out on Twitter, subscribe, all that good shit. Notification bells there if you want to be notified right away. And make sure to follow Jez on Twitter. His link is in the description. And Jez, any new articles coming out soon? Like the one you did yesterday?
Don't know.
Don't know. Well, I guess regardless. No, put
I always Windows- do. You know, I typically drop some kind of opinion piece on a Thursday on Windows Central, but, you know, work's work. I am traveling next week, going to the UK for a bit.
So when are we going to podcast next week? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Probably be Friday. Oh, no, Friday. It won't be Friday because I'll be drunk.
Okay, so Thursday?
Maybe Thursday.
Maybe Thursday. So you hear it here first. Maybe Thursday for a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much for watching. You know, if you're listening to this later on SoundCloud, Google Play, or iTunes, we appreciate you. And we'll see everybody next week. Later, guys.
Take care.